Okay. So once again, we'll just repeat the Shaila, since we're just beginning with the Shaila. The question is it permissible to charge a late fee, meaning to lend somebody money, and to stipulate if you pay back in time, the money's due back in 6 months. If you pay back in time, just give me back what I lent you. My Karen, my principal, don't add one penny and everything's fine. But in the event that you're late, you're delinquent, if you don't pay on time, then it's going to cost you X number of dollars more. So the question is that permissible? And
this is not interest?
That is exactly the question. Is that interest or not? That's precisely the question.
It's just a fine.
Okay, so right, one might say that interest really means that you're paying in order to use my money. Here, you're not paying to use my money. You could use my money for 6 months and then return it. And after 6 months, you have no rights to my money. I want it back. I don't want you keeping it. If you don't pay me back, I'm going to penalize you. I'm going to penalize you to give me an extra $200 because you're in default, right? You're doing the wrong thing. You have no right. Interest, this is what one might argue. One might say, interest means that you're paying in order to hold on to my money. Here, I'm not allowing you to hold on to my money. I want it back. But to encourage you to pay it back, I want you to, I'm telling you, if you don't pay back in time, you'll have to pay more. And at least this way, if you don't pay back, at least compensate me. You wronged me. You kept my money. Sir, you have no right to my money after 6 months. You have rights to it for 6 months because, hey, borrow my money. But after 6 months, I want it back. And that's what we stipulate. That's what you agree to. So if you wrong me and don't pay me back on time, so at least compensate me. So maybe that's mutter. Maybe that's not interest. Because interest is paying to hold my money. Here you're paying because, not to hold my money, you're paying because you're at fault. You're at default. You owe me money, which you're not...
But then you're not paying because you held it longer. The knas is because you held it longer.
Okay, but even so, fine. So let's say, so the halacha is that it is asur. You're not allowed to do that, but it's considered haramas ribis. It's not ribis min haTorah. It's not an isur daraisa, and it's really not a. There are different levels of Issa Ribbis, even in the Rabbanan. This is what's called Haramas Ribbis. It's considered something which Harama means tricking or doing something deceitful, something not straight. It's Haramas Ribbis, which is like a lower level of Ribbis. And there are a lot of differences because of that.
So that's like Ribbis Shinui.
Okay, you can perhaps see that's a comparison to a different area of Halacha. Okay. So one very big nafgamina in this is that if, let's say the loan was money, and we stipulate if you don't pay me back on time, the $1,000 at the end of 6 months, instead you have to give me back merchandise, not money, not cash. Give me some sort of schara, payros, or some other form of merchandise. You pay me that, and you'll pay me more than $1,000 worth. You'll give me $1,200 worth. That the Ramah brings, some say, is mutter to do. If you want to just look inside for a moment at Sif Yudalit, if you have in the sheet here, Sif Yudalit says Ha'omel Chaveiro. This is the Lova speaking, the borrower. Im lo efrachel zman ploni. If I don't pay you back by a certain time, Harini chayiv l'chamei achshav l'zman ho'ikuv kachti norin. I'll owe you like from today. I'll owe you a certain amount of money. Yosem imashel veyu, more than he borrowed. Asur mipnei haramis rivis. It's also to do that, says the Ramah. Hagav v'yesh matirin im nosin lo maos umekabel peiros. Some matir, if you give money and you don't get back money, but you get back merchandise, meaning not just the extra part is in merchandise, the whole thing. Meaning if I agree and we stipulate from the get-go, that if you don't pay me back by the date that we set, you'll pay me back, instead of $1,000, you'll pay me back in merchandise worth $1,200. That the Ramah says, yesh matirin. Some say that's okay to do.
You're allowed to do?
That, according to the Ramah, at least, yes, you're allowed to do that, yes. Because it doesn't look as much like, that appears more like a purchase, a sale, a transaction.
And we're seeing right now, if somebody give $1,000 for 6 months, and after the 6 months he don't pay back, only the 7, 8 months, so he's allowed to give not the money, the $1,000, he's allowed to give $1,000 and this book.
What I'm saying is, first of all, they have to both agree. You can't do it independently. But the point is, right? But no. But the point is, I'm lending you the money. Let's say, right? So I can ask you for more than $1,000, not just $1,000 worth of books, for $1,500 worth of books. Do whatever the number we make up. I say, if you don't pay me back on time, $1,000. So pay me back in books. I know, or you, whatever business in you're in, pay me back in that. In merchandise, but more than $1,000. That's the point. So I have to agree. We have to, not only do we have to agree, it has to be stipulated at the beginning. It has to be done with a stipulation, and according to some, even with a kinyan.
You say stipulated, what does it mean? Wording or writing? You have to be
okay. It could be wording, it could be words, but it also requires to be 100% kosher. It requires a kinyan. They have to make a kinyan. Right. Why? Because otherwise, not because of ribbis, well, just it ends up being ribbis, but because of what's called asmachta. There's a big concept in halacha called asmachta lo kanya. Asmachta means whenever two people make up a deal and say, if I don't keep my word, then I'll do this and this for you. Like, we make a deal, whatever the deal is, and say, if I don't do it, let's say you have a piece of property, and I want the rights to work on that property. You have a field, you have a farm, and I'd like for the next year or 5 years to be the one to manage the farm and to plant, etc. And I'll get a large percentage of the pears, and you'll get some, and I'll get some, because it's your property, but I'm offering or asking to do all the work. What's called an oris. I'll be the sharecropper, right? Yeah. I'll do all the work, and I'll get a percentage of the. And I said, but I tell you, and you're a little concerned that maybe I won't. You know, really put myself into it. I won't, I have too many other things going on, and etc. So I say, look, if I don't do the work, if I don't work properly, if we could document it or whatever it is that I didn't do the work properly, I'll pay you back twice as much as you gave me. Or something, I sort of impose a fine on myself. So that's what's called an asmachta. In fact, the lushan of the Gemara is kol di'i. Any case of di'i, di'i means she'im, if, right? E is Aramaic for im, which means if. Kol di'i asmachta. Anytime we make up and say, you know, if this and this, then I'll do this for you. It's called asmachta. Asmachta means it's basically a worthless promise. I'm just telling it to you. You know why I said it? Because I'm confident that it's not going to happen. I know. I just, you don't trust me. I trust me. So I say, you know what? If I don't do it, if I don't keep my word, then I'll give you this and this and this. So that's called an asmachta, because I never really meant it. I was never really mechayiv myself. I just said it to get you to agree to what I think is fair. I don't think it's fair I should give you twice as much, but you're not going to agree because you don't trust me. So I say it to get you to trust me. So asmachta lo kanya. Asmachta doesn't work unless you make a specific type. If there's a specific type of kinyanim that override asmachta. And for example, it's called a kinyan but based in chashuv. If you make a kinyan in the presence of a based in chashuv, or even if you don't, you know, but you say that you did, meaning you write in a shtar, or there could be you'd have to write it, but I'm not sure if you have to write it, or maybe just stipulate that we made a kinyan in a based in chashuv. So even if we really didn't, but I'm agreeing, I'm going down on paper saying we made a kinyan in a based in chashuv. So just the fact that I allow Adam to sign to that, that's mechayiv me. So what I'm saying here is, by this case of any case that we're going to see, there are going to be other cases where a late fee is permissible. It's going to have in order to make it kosher l'kuli alma, you should make a kinyan which overrides a smachta. Because otherwise, number one, I don't really owe it. At the end, I'm sick. It comes to 6 months. I don't have your money, or I don't give you your money. So you say, give me your money. Okay, now you owe me $15,000 of merchandise. So I say, no, I never meant it. I never really. So if it's just an asmachta, if we didn't make the right kinyan, so I really don't owe it. And if I don't owe it, then it could be it's tak even usher for me to give it, because it's only mutter to give it if that was the initial deal with a hischaivus. So the bottom line I'm saying is that if ever, you know, anytime this is done, it should be done with the proper kinyan. But we'll see soon a very practical example as we go along, and where you don't even need such a big kinyan, which is a very practical example we'll get to hopefully soon. Okay, so now the Ramah says, now summer matah, like we just said, if you give money and get back merchandise, the same thing is the other way around. If I lend a person, let's say, merchandise, I deal in a certain commodity, and somebody else wants, let's say, you have nowadays all these people selling things on the, online sales and stuff, so they buy whatever it is, 5,000 units, 50,000 units of whatever it may be, and, hoping to make a profit. So let's say I don't have the cash. I know a guy has this, and it's a hot-selling item. I say, do me a favor, lend me 10,000 units of this product, and this whatever it is, and I'll pay you, and we make up a date by which I have to pay you. So then we could stipulate, the guy's a little bit concerned, he's a little bit nervous, so he could stipulate, if you don't pay me back, I really owe him, the case we want to give is where I owe the gadget, or I owe the money, but as long as we stipulate, if I don't pay back on time, I will give you money worth more than the amount. Let's say we make up again for these 10,000 units, I owe you, let's say, $10,000, right? The wholesale price is $1 a piece. So you're loaning me $10,000 in merchandise, and I'm obligating myself to pay you $10,000 in cash, and I tell you, if I don't pay on time, whatever the time we made up, I will give you $12,000 or $15,000. So again, according to the Ramah, it's okay, because since I'm getting merchandise, I'm getting, items, and I'm giving back money, that's okay to do.
Because of the
right, because again, it's switching from when the loan is in money and the payment is in payros, or the loan is in payros and the payment is in money, you're allowed to do this. Okay, now, the Ramah says...
excuse me, another word, if I give you $10,000 and you give me $10,000 and this book, I'll also take it.
No, let me clear. It has to be that the whole payment is in books. It can't be I give you back money and plus merchandise. It has to be that if you gave me merchandise, it's only permissible for me to give you back more if the entire amount is money. Or if you gave me money I want to give you back more, we have to stipulate that I'll pay you back in merchandise entirely, not... If I pay you on time, I could just pay you the amount of money I borrowed with nothing more. But if I'm late, then I'll give you merchandise worth more. But the whole amount has to be merchandise. Because
that's not called interest.
Even though I'm giving you back a greater value than you lent me, but since I'm giving it to you in a different form, and I'm giving
it's not
to you...
really apples to apples.
Exactly, it's not. It's apples
is
to
the
dollars.
Is the penalty in let's say books, or the entire payment, including the you're saying I lent you $1,000, and then you're going to pay me back $1,000 with the books, and as well as you pay me back late another $50 with the books. Does it all have to be in books?
Yes.
Everything.
Yes, only if I'm late. We could stipulate if I pay on time, I can pay you back. You really want money, but it's worth it for you to stipulate in case I'm late, I'll pay you back in books, and more than the value. Yeah. Right. As long as we make the proper kinyan, so it's not an asmachta, I don't think so. Because no, it's by sale. This is not a sale. This is a loan, and this is meant as a penalty. Right?
What's the difference in this case, or for example, if I sell merchandise at credit, and let's say 90 days pass and they don't pay, and I charge them the interest, a penalty. It's the same. No, I'm giving them merchandise. I'm giving them money. So I gave him $100 worth of merchandise. Now they're gonna give me $120. No, $100 of the merchandise plus $20 of the penalty. It's the same, no?
Okay, so
let's
understand this clearly. You see, if I give you $1,000 for 6 months, and you give me back the $1,000, but instead of interest, you're giving me this book.
I'm saying the entire amount has to be in books. I have to pay back the entire amount in books. All $1,000 plus the extra, all in books. That's okay if we stipulate it. If we stipulate it.
You have to agree.
We have to agree. Yes.
In the signature, contract.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. Now let me just get to your case. The only time that the Isser applies straight out, if it's money to money, let's say, right? Money to money or Paris to Paris, that's by a regular loan. But if it's a sale, for example, let's say you sell me an item and I owe you money from day one, I owe you money, and you're allowed to stipulate that if I'm late, there's a penalty for being late. You're allowed to do that. But it has to be, and this is always the case here, a one-time penalty. In other words, you're allowed to charge, let's say he sells me a product, and I have to pay in 30 days, right? He could stipulate, if I don't pay in 30 days, then there's a penalty. I have to pay 3% more, or $100 more, whatever it is. That's permissible. But only one time, meaning it can't be. And if I don't pay by the end of 30 days, then it goes another $100, another 3%. It can't be. That can't be. It's only permissible a one time penalty. That's true by all these cases, even the case, Paris and money to Paris. Everything that's because if it's more than a one time, if it's an ongoing thing, that the later you are, the more you pay. Then that's already worse than haramis ribis. That's considered actual ribis, and then it's not going to be mutter, even if it's money to, pay or something. That's
why isn't the one time permissible? I'm talking about Muslim. Why? I don't get why one time permissible.
Yeah,
why one
too,
time?
Yeah.
It just gives you more.
Okay, because one time the idea is, as we said, I think could be said right before you walked in. The idea is that when really interest. Is you're renting my money, basically. That's what the issue, right? You're renting the right to hold on to my money.
Yeah.
But here, you have no right to hold on to my money. If I'm lending you the money for 6 months, you have full rights. After that, you have zero rights. But I'm telling you, if you didn't pay, so I'm penalizing you for being a bad guy. Either it's an encouragement just to get you to pay back, or I deserve to be compensated. You have no right to hold on to my money. It's not like I'm saying,
be compensated for loss of time.
Or for not giving me what's mine. You're withholding my money. Uh-huh. You're withholding my money, so pay me for it.
But
pay me.
Just stage it where it's, goes up and increases.
So then because then it's much more, it has the time of ribis, than because...
Like you're allowed to hold on to more money, you're just keeping on owing more.
Right, or even if you're not allowed to, but since you did it, and for each month you hold on, you pay more money, that is much more considered the higher ribis. And in fact...
And is there ISO?
It's Shiloh, it's deraisa, but it's considered ribis. Not necessarily deraisa, but it's the actual ribis. It's worse than haramis ribis. And in fact, the Bach and others say that even in the case that's mutter, right, where for example the case of pay, money for Paris, or when you're late and they say, okay, now you'll owe me, you'll pay me back, the extra 10%, but I can't say to you, so now. Take another 30 days already. Once you're paying me the extra 10%, you could hold on to it for another 30. No, the top box said no. I can't do that. If I do that, then also it becomes ribis. It's only mutter. I say you could pay. You owe me 10% more, but and it's due right now. And even if you continue to be late, it's not with permission. I can't allow you, says the Bach. I can't allow you to hold on to it longer. I could just tell you that I could just charge you for holding on to it longer. Okay. The Taz actually argues on that and says that I could do. Again, as long as it's a one time, I could allow you to hold on longer, because since the longer you hold on to it, it's not going to go up, right? What you owe for is not for the extra month. You owe for being 1 second late. As soon as you're 1 second late over the 6 months, you owe me the extra $10,000 or whatever it is. So once you owe that, says the Taz, if I want to be a nice guy and say, okay, look, you're late already. I had to come up with the money. I needed the money after 6 months to pay. I had to came up. I borrowed for somewhere else, or I took money out of my savings account. So you might as well hold it. You want to hold on to it, just pay me back in 30 days. If I want to do that, I'm allowed to. The task is I'm allowed to do it. But many, many, disagree with that. Like I said, the Bach and others disagree with that. But everyone agrees. I could definitely tell you, you owe me the principal today. But I give you 30 days to pay the late fee. That I could do, because I never lent you the late fee. That's not ribis. I can just tell you, okay, you owe me now not $10,000 worth of Paris, but I lent you $10,000, and now you didn't pay, so you owe me $12,000 worth of, I lent you, let's say, $10,000 cash, and we made up. If you're late, you owe me $12,000 in payros. So now you're late. You owe it to me. The $10,000 is still due immediately. It's due right now. The extra $2,000 you could take a month.
Late fees interest. Late fees interest.
Well, we're saying it depends. It depends on the
late fees interest. What's the difference? You call it late fee or you call it
Okay. Because as I explained, as the Shulchan Aruch explains, because if the late fee is not giving you the rights to hold it longer, you're not renting my money. Interest is when you're renting my money. Here, I'm penalizing you. You have to pay me back. I'm penalizing you for not paying me back. I'm not allowing you.
It's not okay to be holding it.
Right. Yeah. Let's contrast this to a credit card. Let's say you have a credit card. Assuming you would be with a Jewish bank. A Jewish bank gives you a credit card, and you put money on it, and you have 30 days, to pay back with absolutely no penalties, no fees, no interest. Perfect. But if you don't pay back in 30 days, you're allowed to hold on to it. You want to hold on to it because they'll be happy you hold on to it, but you'll start incurring interest charges. That, or that's taka usser, because they're telling you, yeah, hold on to the money, keep it longer than 30 days, but now start paying 20% on your money or even 1%.
Excuse me, in another word, if you give $100 for somebody for 30 days and he doesn't pay back on 30 days, what situation?
So if you did not stipulate anything, he owes you only $100, not a penny more.
Even if he pays back 6 months instead of 30 days?
That's right. He's a bad guy. He's a bad guy, unless he's honest, and he's called a Russia. I didn't make up the term. He says, lo va Russia v'lo yishalim. He's called a Russia, but what can I do? Okay, but what can I do? But I can't charge him. I can't charge him money for that. I can't charge him. I can, next time he asks me for a loan, I'll think twice. Okay, interesting. Okay, so now, I just want to make sure I go through each of the points. I mentioned that if it's a business transaction, then it's mutter to do it. It's mutter to do it, and as a one-time fee. So this is, for example, a landlord-tenant relationship. If you you have a piece of property, you have an apartment or a house, you rent it out to another Jew, and the rent is due on whatever the first of the month, and you say if you don't pay by the fifth of the month, so then there's a $50 late fee. That's perfectly mutter, as long as it's a one-time fee, even though.
One time for each month.
Yeah, exactly. If he's late next month, he's late January, okay, $50. He comes in, February's late, $50 for February, because each one is a separate chov, exactly. So
now it's okay to stagger for business.
Well, it's not called...
Stagger, you can have different penalties by,
It's different loans. Each month is a new loan. You owe me, let's say it was $2,000 a month. You owe me $2,000 for January. Now you owe me $2,000 for February. So in each one of those loans, I'm charging you a $50 late fee. That's okay on each one. But even if you pay, if you're 3 months late for January, you still just pay one $50 fee. If at the end, January, February, March, you're late, and you finally pay in the middle of March, you pay the $6,000 plus 50, 150. That's it. I can't say, oh, January, you're 3 months late, so pay me $150 for January, $100 February. Yeah. Can't do that. $50 for January, $50. So now comes the Shiloh. Let's say you're late for January, and you're $2,000 behind. Say, okay, it's going to cost you $2,050. No. Now comes February 1st, and you're going to pay, but you only have $2,000. You can't catch up yet. You only have $2,000. So you say...
You can pay the current month.
That's what you say. You want to pay the current month so that you don't pay a late fee for February, and January you still owe me. I say, no, pay me your for January. We'll worry about February. First, pay me for January. And if you can't pay February, okay, it's another $50 for February. So who decides?
You tell me.
Kushaya? Kushaya. The Sefer Mishnas Ribbis brings up the Shaila. Who decides whether it's, you're paying for January or for February? So he says like this. This is a similar Shaila. Let's say I borrow money. Let's say I borrow money from you two times. I borrow $10,000, and before I pay it back, I borrow another $10,000. Okay, so I owe you two separate loans, two separate contracts. I owe you $20,000 total. And now I'm ready to pay $10,000. And you want... One of the loans, I have a guarantor on. Like, let's say the second loan. The second loan already, you said, another 10,000, get me a guarantor, get me an arev. So I got an arev, and he's on the hook. If I don't pay, he's on the hook, but only for the second 10. The first 10,000, he has nothing to do. Now I come to pay back 10,000, and I say, I want to pay off the second loan because I feel bad having my friend on the hook. I want to get him off free and clear. So I want to pay you back the second loan, and I'll still owe you the first loan. And you now you want the other. You say, no, you'd rather I pay you the first loan so that now the second loan you have a guarantor.
Well, I mean,
it's not up to him. It's up to you.
Regardless, meaning it could even be that the first loan is due after the second loan.
Yeah, I mean, it could be, but I just presented the Shiloh. So, yeah, and the Shiloh could be anything. Yeah, right.
Only if there's no contract.
Why?
If there's a contract, there's a contract.
But the
If it's only... The way you say it is worth only with the mouth.
No, but that's, the contract just says I owe you money. I owe you $10,000, and then you have a second contract, and another $10,000. On one of them, there's a guarantor. So let's say this, for simplicity's sake, let's say I'm paying back. They're really due in. They're not due to the end of the year. And Baruch Hashem, I did well. I'm ready to pay you back $10,000. Ready to pay you back before it's due. For simplicity's sake. So neither loan is due. So I say, you know what? I want to get rid of the second loan so my friend Arev could breathe easy, and so that I could ask him another time to sign if I want for Arev. So I want to pay back that money, and you say no. You want the comfort of having an Arev, so you want me to pay back the first loan, right? So the halacha there is that the malva decide. The malva has a right to say I'm accepting this money on the first loan.
The creditor,
right? The one who lent the money, right? He has a right to say, I'm accepting the money. I'm being toe-faced this money for the loan that has no arev, and you still owe me the first 10,000, you still, whatever, second 10,000, you still owe me. Whatever it is. I'm taking it for the one that has no arev, and the one that has an arev is still out. Why is that? Because it says, Eved Love Li'ish Malveh. A love is considered eved love. It's a halachic principle that the love is considered to be has the lower end of the stick. And
but it's open for negotiation. No, let's say that I owe you. I tell you, you know what? If you don't take it now, I pay you in the due date. You choose. I give
absolutely.
You the money now.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's okay. You can do that.
So
fine. So I'll yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You can do that.
I mean, hold on.
Don't bring it
down. Well, what the first
you can bring it
up. You still say it's for the second loan and then make him miss the...
Who, the Malva?
Yeah, and then make him miss the...
Yeah, because I believe so. I believe he could, because he could be toe-faced the money. He says, that's the Lushan. The Malva could be toe-faced the money. Said, okay, you're paid up for the loan, you know, the...
It's still all for today. Right?
Yes, yeah, right. Okay, so now the Shaila is here, so that's the halach over there by a regular loan. But
excuse me. You say 2 times $10,000, you say?
Yeah.
$10,000.
Right. And okay.
It's actually like the credit cards. They'll say we're going to apply it to the highest balance first or whatever it is, and you don't get to decide.
Yeah. Okay.
So what is the Shaila?
No, the Shaila is one of the loans has a guarantor. A guarantor. And one doesn't.
You've said it before.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't clear.
That's already different.
Yeah. Right. So the two loans are different.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question is over here by the rent, here it's not a low, it's not a, like a lov and a malv, it's not like evidish. I owe you money I rented your property, right? The normal thing to do, it's a business deal. So I'm late, okay, I'm late. But I'm not a lov, you know, in the classical sense of the word. So one of the chayim, I think the Shar Mishpat says, no, the same halach applies. The landlord has a right to say, I'm taking this money for January, and you still owe me for February. And since you're late on February, $50 more. So I'm taking the $2,050 for applying it to January and the penalty for January, and now you owe me $2,000 for February, you're late, okay, $50, you can owe me $2,050. That's what but the Kesef Kedushim is Cholek, and says, no, you can't, over here you can't do that. This is not a typical Lova Malva. It's up to the tenant who's paying can say, I'm paying you for February. I always still owe you for January. Okay, but I'm paying for February. No additional fees. No additional. I owe you just, you know, I'm giving you $2,050 now. Let's, for argument's sake, here's the $50 penalty for January. Here's your money for February. And I owe you for January $2,000. Whether he gives them the $15 now or not is not relevant. But so he says this. So the Sefer Mishnah's Ribbah says, and that since it's a machlokes achrona, he paskins that, I think it's him paskining, that it's who's ever muchsak, meaning whoever has the money decides. Before I pay you, if I stipulate before, I say, if I say I'm giving you this money, you should know, here's February's rent. then it's February's rent. But if I don't, if I just pay you, and then you come to me and say, okay, and, you know, the landlord comes and say, okay, now you owe me a fine for February. I say, what do you mean? I just paid for it. No, I'm taking that for January. Oh, he didn't say anything. Then now he's muchzuk. He could decide. That's what he said. Whoever's muchzuk in the money, you know. So in other words, so you should stipulate before you pay. But he does say, and I saw this also. I think the name of Rabbi Marburger as well, and the Sefer Berakhos Aryeh could be whatever. That you could put that into the lease. You could write into a lease that, number one, if a guy doesn't pay on time, he'll incur a $50 late fee.
In the contract, no question.
Well, no, you can't violate the Torah.
In the contract.
No, but you can't make a contract to violate the Torah. I can't write
You cannot make a contract to put in the interest.
Exactly, right.
That's what you're trying to say.
Of course, but I could put in the contract a late fee, a one-time late fee, not on a loan, but on a business thing, like a lease of an apartment or a house. And I could write, that any time you're in arrear, any time you're behind, all payments will be applied to the longest outstanding balance. I could write that in the contract right away, so you can't tell me I'm paying you February. No, you're not, because it says here you agree that if you pay late, whenever you're paying the old bill first. You could write that into the lease and avoid machlokes, and this is the landlord will get his fees. Okay, so now one. Okay, what I thought was a fascinating also nafkamina. So this case of the loan is a very big nafkamina. I mean, many leases say, and not loan. I'm sorry, the rental. Many leases say this, that there's a late fee. So it's okay as long as it doesn't go up. It's just a one-time late fee per month. And okay. Well, it depends how it's structured. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. That's what we're learning about tonight. It's interest if it's done.
$100, you're giving me $102 interest.
That's right. If it's money for money like that, it's interest. But if it's on a business deal, if it's on a rental or something of the sort, then it could be done. Okay, now. So, it could be either way. Yes. Even if it's a percentage of how much he owes, as long as it's a one-time fee, one-time fine, it can't go up. The later you are, the more you pay. It could be a percentage. If you have to pay 15% of what the outstanding balance is a late fee. Yes.
It can't be like 5% a month and he is being paid.
Absolutely not. Only 5% if it's like I said, a rental where every month is a new bill, a new chok. But if it's you go to a doctor, a Jewish doctor, or a dentist, and you don't pay in time, 30 days late, it's this month, 60 days, that's us to do. Okay, he can't have that in his billing system. That's us to do. Absolutely. Okay, and he can't even agree to that. That's okay. Now, but I thought what I thought was the Mishnah's Ribbis is a gavaldig thing. You know, we learned a few weeks ago that when it comes to Hilchos Ribbis. When it comes to Hilchos Ribbis, foreign currency is called peros, right? It's not money. It's not cash. So, like, for example, I'm not allowed to do a loan. You chapped already. Yeah, you all chapped. I see the smiles. Yeah, I'm not allowed to do a loan in America of Israeli money, you know, unless you have certain heter. But I can't lend a person 100 Israeli pounds for 100 Israeli pounds unless he has yeshlo or some other heter. But otherwise, because it's like lending peros. He's not allowed to lend saw peros for saw peros, right? Okay, it's considered peros. So says the Mishnah Shribis, so if it's considered peros, so then the Rama said, you're allowed to have a late fee, even in a regular loan, as long as you lend money and he pays you back in peros. So he says, maybe you could do that before. You could stipulate, I'm lending you $10,000, US dollars, but in the event that you're, and it's due in 6 months, if you don't pay me back in 6 months, you owe me $15,000 worth of Israeli pounds. You owe me in Israeli pounds or Canadian dollars, $15,000 of American value, $15,000 American value, and it's just paying in Israeli money. And he says that's mutter to do because it's money for peros. It's not money for money.
Yeah, it's merchandise.
Yeah, it's merchandise. Foreign money, foreign currency is merchandise.
Cryptocurrency.
What do you say?
Cryptocurrency.
You're already beyond anything I have know anything about. Yeah. I mean, that's a little bit oversimplifying, but yes, there is a difference between the two. Okay, so I didn't see anybody else say this, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know anybody's chalik, and that could be a gavaldic way for a person. You know, regular loan. You want it for $10,000. I'm a little concerned if you're going to pay back on time. So we stipulate, but you have to, you make a kinyan, if you don't pay back time, you owe me $15,000, but don't pay me in American money, then pay me in Canadian money. It's easy enough to exchange, right? I'll get $5,000 extra in the exchange rate. What will I lose already? I mean, it's a good. I mean, it sounds like a good deal. I don't know. Okay, just one or two interesting things that.
Easier than selling the apples for sure.
Say that again. Sorry?
Easier than selling the apples. If you give 15,000 in apples.
Apples. Yeah. Oh, no, I'd much rather have 15,000 Israeli money or Canadian money than apples. That's okay. Now, Lemais just wanted to point out that I saw an interesting thing in the Sefer Chodshani, which, I'll tell you, you could say what you make of it. When the Chazon Ish was, moved to Eretz Yisrael.
If I give you an apple, 6 months you have to give me the 2 apples. Not so that you're an apple.
That's not allowed to do that. No. No, but no. We're just saying that there are differences. Meaning, if you give me an apple, and we make up, if you don't give me back the apple in 6 months, then I have to give you the value to the apple costs $1. We could make up. I have to give you $2 if I give it to you in money, or if I give you $1 in money and you give me $1 in money and I don't pay back in time, we could stipulate if I don't pay back in time, I have to give you apples worth $2. That we could do. That we said we could do. That's it. Not apples for apples, or money for money, but money for apples. So when in Eretz Yisrael, obviously there are Jews behind all the utilities and services and whatnot. So, but unfortunately, not everything is run LP halacha. So,
money and merchandise.
It's a big,
that's the bottom line.
Well, that. When applied properly, that's the bottom line. Okay, so the Chazon Ish, to sign up for electric power, to have electric service, electricity, you would have to sign on the papers. There were clauses there that were ribbis. Now, if you don't pay on time, you'll have to pay extra. And I guess there was a way that probably went up every month, every 30 days or whatever, more and more and more and more. So the Chazon Ish, I can't sign that. It's us to do that. Even I won't be late, but I'm not allowed. I can't agree to such a thing. So he had no electric service it doesn't say how long. He refused to bring electricity to his house because he didn't want to, until it says they were sirubomo, that people, convinced him finally, and he agreed that for someone else to sign. He wouldn't sign, but he agreed to allow someone, that's what it says, to allow someone else to sign on his behalf so they can get electric power. There's a whole discussion there in the Chodshani, exactly. We spoke about this basic concept a little bit, Los Siman of Neshech, that you're not allowed to even sign a contract which has ribbons, or at least the Malva certainly isn't. Question is it applied to the Lova?
But the electrical company, it's an LLC, it's a company, so it's not actually a deal leading to another deal.
Okay,
you know?
but first of all, but they're the Malva, they're the lender. But what we said, Ramosha's Heter, was that when the LLC is was the borrower, he could be the Lova.
Okay.
But we didn't say he could be the Malva, he's not the Malva. That's number one. Number two, I don't know that the Chazon Ish agreed to Ramosha's Heter. Anyway, can't ask a question from Chazon Ish, hey, the Igros Moshe says his mutter. But anyway, he doesn't say his mutter. Igros doesn't say his mutter in this case. Okay, one more thing I just want to say is that I saw there's a halacha here at Shulchan Aruch about if a person wants to obligate himself to give a gift, like the Shver, the father-in-law is obligating himself to give his son-in-law a certain nedunya. If you marry my daughter, I'll give you this. By 6 months from now, I'll give you X amount of money. And if I don't give it to you by 6 months, if I give it to you 7 months, I'll give you even more. So you're allowed to do that. It says that two times. The Mechaber and the Ramah both say you're allowed to do that because I don't owe him a penny. I'm agreeing to. I'm offering. I'm making an offer that it's not like a chob. He's not lending me anything or selling me anything. I'm just agreeing that to give him a gift. If you become my son-in-law, it's normal that a father-in-law gives his son-in-law, helps him out. So I will give you this and. And I'll try to. My plan is to have it in 6 months. But if I end up, wanting to hold on to the money a little longer and giving you later, I'll give you even more. So you're allowed to do that. So based on that, the Shvus Yitzchak brings Rabbi Yashiv said by things like in Eretz Yisrael, like income tax, something of that sort, or other types of taxes. Even if they charge more if you're late, you're allowed to do that because he said, since everybody who lives there has to pay this. Let's say not income tax. is it some sort of, he did list income tax, but even other types of taxes, I'm not sure. So, what's that? Well, taxes, not...
Taxes.
Yeah, taxes. Because he said, not what you're getting to, because the story was that since even if I don't want to use, I say, I'm not going to use the bridges and tunnels and roads, so I don't want to pay, you know, that part of my income tax. It says, you know, I won't use the garbage service. I'll never, you still have to pay. You can't tell them, I never did this, I never did this. You know, you still have to pay. So it's not a chov, it's just something that they're mechayiv you. That's all. They're just mechayiv you to pay. So, and they're telling you, if you pay by this time, this is the price. If you pay by this time, this is the price. So he says you're allowed to do that. Because it's not like I took a service and I'm paying directly for the service. Because whether I used, like I say, let's say the road, whether I went over the bridge one time or 100,000 times or zero times, I pay the same amount. So I'm not paying, not really paying that I owe them money for this. It's just something that they impose. They impose upon me to pay this for living there. So he says that you're allowed to pay even if extra. Okay, so
thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all for coming. Let's see.
Chainsaw and I broke the blade, and I got from Home Depot a pack of 8 blades. Is it considered a rebus if I didn't bag 8 blades in a package?